Welcome to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. The ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
Locks Battle Week 9. Here on the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast, Chip Patterson, joined by Tom Finelli and Barton Simmons, the continuing competition between these experts. One, which Barton still leads. Tom, we will get review here in a second. Tremendous weekend, and everyone is in the positive. The syndicate as a whole made money. Tom, how are you feeling? You were out because of illness, DNP. Voice. So what do I'm afraid that I'm going to lose you for future episodes now.
Yeah. I mean, I had a perfect week when I wasn't on the show. So I think that the obvious strategy going forward is just to email my picks to you before the show, and then you guys can discuss them and then I can win.
What did we, Barton, what did we trash the most out of this?
I don't remember. I do remember having some doubts about at least one or two of the picks. And so jokes on us, I guess, huh?
Jokes definitely on us. It might have been Texas plus 7.
That was one. That was one. I was like, oh, that's gutsy.
You never go against Tom Herman as a dog, especially at home.
I know. Yeah,
that's a good hey. now I know.
So Tom hit on UCF minus 7. Tom hit on Texas plus 7. Bama Tennessee over 50.5. Woo! Sweating that one. Purdue Rutgers under 47.5. Did not sweat that one. A sweet 14-12 result there. And then yeah. Notre Dame minus 3.5. No sweating on that. Barton, Michigan. Yeesh. Michigan plus 9.5. Mississippi State minus 11.5. Never a doubt. You were also on UCF minus 7. Wake plus 6.5. The Bees pulled away late. Florida State, that was you and I. That was wrong. We already discussed that. I don't want to have to relive that. And then Missouri minus 14. Easy money right there. But that's 3-3. That is even on the week. So I still haven't gotten a chance to do the audit. Got a big card this week. So you're at 12. Tom with his plus 5 week is up to plus 7.
Whoa.
Right, here I come.
I think Tom is my inspiration for going heavy this week. Just realizing how quickly things can change.
One of my running backs must have run out of bounds on my 4-minute offense. or my quarterback didn't. Threw the ball away or something.
I got Syracuse plus 17, Tulane plus 11.5. Never a doubt, kicking in the back door. Then Eastern Michigan push at plus 3. UConn Tulsa, some sleepy ball at the rent, under 75.5. Easy money. Missed bad on Florida State minus 6.5. And sweated out a Duke Pitt under that did cash. So that is 4-1-1, plus 3 for the week from net 0 to plus 3. Gentlemen,
we're making people rich.
I'm saying. I am a little afraid. I think that the battle part of the locks battle is what I'm focused on right now. And I think that I need to give that out as like a Surgeon's General warning to the listeners. I might be more focused on catching Barton and Tom than making you cash at this point.
Chip's picks may be hazardous to your health.
Exactly. All right, well, week 9. We're picking
locks. My blue plate special 5-star locks are coming.
Come get these locks.
5-star master lock. Lock it up.
You want these locks?
I'm living and dying every point, every cover.
Let's get it started. Tom, you were the leader last week, so you've got the honors. Why don't you get us started?
Sure. I'm going to start. You know, it worked for me last week, and I'm doing it again this week. Notre Dame minus 7 at home against NC State. There's just honestly, I think Notre Dame's a better team than NC State. Yes, the Wolfpack have picked up big wins for the program in beating both Florida State and Louisville, but as we've seen this year, neither Florida State or Louisville are the teams we thought they would be. And I think that NC State's getting kind of propped up. And then just as far as the matchup is concerned, you know, statistically, if you look at the normal, your regular statistics, NC State's defense has been really solid. And it is a really solid defense. It's just when you get into the advanced stats, you know, you start to see some cracks. First of all, if you use S&P Plus, NC State's defense ranks only 53rd in the country. Its run defense is 33rd, and its ISO PPP, which is basically a way of measuring in explosiveness, like how often you give up explosive plays, or if you're an offense, how explosive your offense is,
right,
is ranked 73rd. On the flip side, Notre Dame's rushing attacks S&P Plus is the number one in the country. It's the best rushing offense in the country, and its ISO PPP is the fourth most explosive offense in the country. So when I look at this matchup, I see Brandon Winbush and Josh Adams, even against that defensive line with Bradley Chubb and company, I still see Notre Dame breaking off a lot of big runs, because obviously when you're playing that read option game, it's no longer 10 on 11, it's 11 on 11, and it gives the offense an advantage. So they're going to have to decide to take one of them away. My guess is NC State's going to try to take Josh Adams away more than it does Winbush, and they're going to make Winbush run as much as possible. But still, Winbush is a very explosive runner as a quarterback. And Notre Dame's offense just overall, it's a bunch of big plays, and NC State has shown a propensity to give up big plays this year. And on the flip side, I don't have that much confidence in NC State's offense really being able to do too much damage against this Notre Dame defense. So when I combine all that, and plus the fact that this Notre Dame offensive line is probably far and away the best offensive line NC State's got to deal with so far this season, I like Notre Dame by 2 scores in this game. So I only have to give up 7, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to feel great about it.
Lock fight. We Whoa. Got a lock fight. I'm going to the Wolf Pack. I'm going to the Wolf Pack, baby. Hey.
Okay, hey, Chip, before you go, I got to tell you, I think I went into this sort of up in the air, and Tom just kind of convinced me on Notre Dame. So I want to see whether, like, now where's your counter argument? Let me see if you can convince me back to NC State.
Notre Dame is statistically being propped up by North Carolina, Miami of Ohio, Michigan State, and Temple. I mean, that's like, if you're going to throw those stats, I mean, NC State is covered on the road every single time that it's gone on the road this year. I like the fact that, yeah, they've given up some explosive plays, but they've also played Eric Dungy and Lamar Jackson. You know, the South Carolina game probably hurts them in a lot of ways. That game was stupid. I think that this is coming off the bye week. This will be the game that NC State is able to rise up and get the good big win for, especially with Notre Dame coming off the USC game. And look, I'm calling NC State to win, but I don't feel like that's a lock at all. But at +7, I think that I should be able to get a push here. I think that Notre Dame is going to find itself suddenly challenged by Ryan Finley, just in terms of patience. I think NC State's just going to dink and dunk, work the perimeter. And guys like Kelvin Harmon, Jalen Samuels, Nyheim Hines, I think that NC State has maybe superior skill position play at this point.
What?
Outside of the running backs and Brandon Winbush, like, do you really believe that Notre Dame skill players have been playing better than NC State's this year?
No, I don't think the receivers have been better. I'd say Nyheim Hines is the only one I would consider to be better than anybody that Notre Dame has at the skill position.
I think that this is the one that they win and then they come home and lose to Clemson. That's kind of how I'm seeing this one play out.
This Notre Dame team, I really want to believe in, and I haven't been able to do it yet. I haven't been able to. And I can't put my finger on why. I don't know why I don't trust this team yet. I love their offensive line, but Brandon Winbush has turned into a glorified Wildcat quarterback this year, which sort of, you know, kind of sits funny with me. And defensively, as good as and as sound as they've been, as improved as they've been, it's like it's almost too good to be true. Like, I still can't. So I'm staying away from this game. I think I picked Notre Dame to win, NC State to cover in the expert picks. I just think 7 points is a lot for two teams that I feel like are fairly evenly matched. But I'll let you two fight this out, and I'll sit it out on the sideline.
Well, I just want to be clear. I think that Notre Dame is going to lose one more game, maybe even two, over the course of the season. Because go along with what you just said, this is a team that offensively is too one-dimensional to really be considered a playoff threat or a national title contender in my eyes. It's just I don't think this is the week where that happens. I think this is a good matchup for them, and I think that their loss is going to come either to like somebody like Stanford or Miami or whoever, you know, somebody else that's left on the schedule. I think this one Notre Dame gets by just fine. Maybe Wake too. Yeah, honestly.
Lock. All right, lock fighting.
Good old lock fight to kick things off.
So you say two. Damn, Tom, we are like 14 points off on how we see this one going.
Yeah. Well, you're 7 points off. I'm dead on.
Well, well, no, I guess we're both entrenched in our homer picks then. Noted Notre Dame fan, Tom Fernelli. Yeah.
Okay. Noted Raleigh resident Chip Patterson.
All right, Barton, take us somewhere.
Okay, I'm going to be uncharacteristically light this week. Didn't see a ton of games that I loved, but this game I love. Missouri minus 13. Mm. I took Missouri last week, feeling pretty good about that Idaho game when they were laying 14 and they ended up covering by about 30, and I said after that game, I said, in fact, I was talking to one of my buddies on the phone. He was like, man, that was a good call on Missouri. And I was like, hey, keep an eye on UConn. Like, if that game opens at like 23, take Missouri. And it opened at 13. Or maybe it opened lower than that. I think it opened like 11 and went up to 13. UConn, like, here's the thing about Missouri is they are not a great football team. But that offense is so explosive that a bad football team will get run out of the building by them, because you have to be able to have the defense that can stop those guys, and then you force their defense to play football, or you have an offense that can keep up with them. And UConn has neither. UConn, in fact, has the worst passing defense in college football, 130 out of 130. And Missouri has one of the most explosive passing offenses in college football. This is another home game. This is coming off of a game where at every game matters for them. This is not an overlooked spot. Missouri has to win every opportunity they have, because right now they're looking at their schedule and they've got an opportunity of going to a bowl. And that sounds crazy when you yes. think about where they were after getting just smoked by, Purdue 35-3, right? Like South Carolina 31-13, and you're sitting there at 1-2 with a ugly win over Missouri State, and you're like, this season's done. And they keep on getting blown out, and here they are, put up 28 against Georgia, put up 68 against Idaho, and now they got a chance to win their third game with games left against Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee that are all very winnable. So I'm going to take Missouri, and I'm going to say Missouri runs away with this thing and has another blowout win over an inferior opponent, because UConn is bad, and their defense is the worst part, and Missouri can feast on those sort of teams.
I'm on this under. 78.5?
Yeah.
78.5? That's too many damn points.
Yeah, that's a principal play. Points.
Principal play. I am on the card. Mizzou, UConn, under 78.5. They tried to throw me a UConn over under up in the high 70s last week. Cashed comfortably. Now this is not going to be the 8-year-old soccer game noon kickoff at the Rent that we had last weekend. But still, too many dang points. Even if Missouri goes up, and you're right, every game does matter. But this isn't a spot where I think that I don't think that this game's going to be a competitive shootout, and I think that even as explosive as Missouri's offense is, it's a long season and this is late October. I like it. I'm going to go under 78.5.
I agree with both, honestly. Maybe we should parlay it. Maybe we should do a syndicate lock and parlay. No, I just, going back to what Barton was saying, it is an explosive offense. And, you know, I mentioned when discussing the last game, Notre Dame ranks fourth in the country in the ISO PPP on offense. Missouri is actually the number one offense in the country by that metric. So they are technically the most explosive offense in the country. And UConn has been able to put up points against bad to slightly okay-ish AAC teams. I don't really expect them to be able to do it against Missouri, at least not on the level where they're going to be able to keep up and stay within that spread and then help that game get to the over. So I like both your picks.
And the AAC is terrible this year. Like, they've got their teams up top. They got the USF and UCF and Memphis. But beyond that, like, all the teams that have been pretty good in the past, like Tulsa's no good this year, Temple's no good this year, SMU didn't really cycle up like you want. East Carolina's terrible. So this is like, any of the non-Big Three in the AAC, I'm feel pretty good about fading if they're playing a Power Five program. So,
Barton, what you said? What was the word? I lost you after tea. It was the AAC is terrifically entertaining, right? The AAC is tremendously unexpected football. Like,
it is fun.
It is
there's
fun.
No denying that.
When there's all these teams and no one's really all that much better than each other outside of UCF, and we can get to the Bulls here in a little bit. All right. I got another homer pick. I'm going Wake plus +3 revenge game for Wakey Leaks with Louisville coming to town.
Interesting. I like where you're going there. I didn't think about that, and that line scared me. That was way too close for comfort. But, you know, now that you're mentioning at home with that extra motivation, I maybe like where your head's at.
Coaching,
talk it out.
Yeah, dude, coaching staff is going to flip on this one. And how about we've got some kind of ridiculous reverse line movement on this one. Opened at 6. Right now, according to Sportsline, 80% of the public on Louisville, and it has dropped from 6 to 3.
I didn't realize it opened that, so I was seeing it open at 2.5, but I guess maybe it was a 6 like a week ago or something.
Maybe.
I think when they first put the line out on Sunday, it was at 6, and then it was quickly bet down.
Wow.
I think, you know, the other thing too, Wake last 10 games in the ACC, 7-2-1 against the spread. So I still like Louisville, but I don't really have a great feel on this one either way. I think either call is fine. I wouldn't be surprised if Wake wins just because of the problems we've seen from Louisville. I just think that I have a hard time going against Lamar Jackson in this game against a Wake Forest defense that's good, but against an offense that in my mind isn't exactly, it's not a big play type of explosive kind of offense where I feel like if you're going to beat Louisville, even this year, you need to be able to put up some points. And I don't know if Wake Forest is going to be able to do that, but I don't hate the pick at all.
So we all agree that Wake is a pretty good team this year.
Wake is a pretty good football team.
So I do, in the sense that they are a pretty good football team, and yet they are 0-3 now in their opportunities to knock off really good football teams. You know, I think this is the type of team that gets somebody at some point, whether it's Louisville this week, Notre Dame next, NC State later in the year. Like, it seems like they're not going to go 0-6 when you include Florida State, Clemson, Georgia Tech in upsetting somebody that's significantly, you know, that's a name. So if this could be a spot. And by the way, 12:20 Eastern kick, and this is, fellas, family weekend.
Shield the kids' eyes.
A lot of moms and dads in the crowd ready to get that place hopping.
Shield the kids' eyes from what Wake Forest is about to do to Louisville. It's going to be Greg Dortch lighting it up down the field. It's going to be both John Wofford and Kendall Hinton. Cam Serigne streaking down the seam for a touchdown. Go Deeks. Wake
also,
+3. Lock it up.
Shield your eyes from Louisville's uniforms. I don't know which ones they'll be wearing, but you don't want to look directly at them anyway.
And they won't look good on the regional sports network broadcast. Like, alternate uniforms, noon kicks, and local broadcasts for some reason are never quite appealing on the HDTV.
could be a letdown opportunity there with a big win over Florida State. Going on the road then in the morning kick, you know.
And Wake's
something there.
A lot of teams are getting their big win over Florida State this year.
That's true. That's true.
But I mean, Wake's mad. Like they hung in that Georgia Tech game, and then in the fourth quarter, Georgia Tech just pulled away. They're also starting to look at the bowl game math. You know, they need everything. All right, enough with my homerism. I got Wake plus three.
That was a frustrating game last week to have Wake in the points and watch them lead the whole game, and the game just wouldn't end. Like every time I looked up, it's like, are you serious? I got to wait another quarter and a half to cover this thing. And sure enough, Georgia Tech just kept on sticking with the plan and pulling through. So it was that was a tough one. I would have liked to have won that one.
Yeah. I think Wake was a good side there, but Taquan Marshall, long touchdown runs in the final minutes. It's pretty painful. Like how Taquan Marshall's a sophomore. I think he's going to end up ruining some spreads for at least two more years in the ACC.
Yeah.
Lots
to like about that guy.
Yeah, lots to like. All right, Barton, hit me.
I'm up. All right, let me go. I'm going to go with the largest outdoor cocktail party. I'm going to look at this is an obvious play. This is probably a Joe play. A lot of public on this one, I would imagine. But I'm going to go Georgia minus 13.5 because Florida's not very good. And I think I've faded Florida three times this year and won all three. I just don't think that and there's a Chip, I can't remember, I guess we didn't talk about it, but there's a lot of kind of unnecessary off the field clutter with Jim McElwain and his alleged death threats. There's Georgia with coming into this game, and I think they're actually going to benefit from the fact they've lost the last few. They're going to be very motivated. They're a lot better football team. I don't see Florida being able to move the ball. I don't see why this can't be as ugly as any of these other SEC East games Georgia's playing. I'm going to go with the Bulldogs minus 13.5 and expect them to cover easily.
I picked it. It's not a lock for me, but I'm with you on that one. Look, you mentioned it's three in a row. Like Georgia knows, like being intellectually honest with itself, this Georgia football team knows it is so much better. And the fact that they haven't beat Florida, I give them the intangible advantage. And yeah, when you consider I don't think the mess that Jim McElwain has created impacts the players, but it can't be good for the general mental fragility of this coaching staff and Jim McElwain when it comes time for big time decisions to be made out there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm not putting a huge check mark in like the Georgia advantage column because of that, as much as it's just sort of another just extraneous like sort of state of the program snapshot. That
Georgia's 20 points better.
Right,
yeah,
now.
Georgia's 20 points better than Florida. Like, I think that you see 13.5 because it's a rivalry game and because of all the extra things. Like, I think that when you line these two teams up and you play, you like game sim it or whatever, or the sports line computer sim does what 50,000, 10,000 simulations or whatever. Like, I think that the Bulldogs are a significantly better ball club. I'm not making it a lock, but I get it. Tommy,
plus you guys have been seeing how all these Florida guys are like kind of talking trash to the media.
Oh
like,
my gosh. Yes.
I mean, come on. You're going to give extra motivation now? I think Georgia's going to come in here wanting to really send a message. Like this rivalry is shifting, fellas, like get ready. And so I like Georgia.
What I want to know is, are any of those Florida players sending death threats? I don't like this line at all, honestly. I think Georgia is very so much better than Florida. But again, in this kind of game, The 13.5 scares me. I'm actually more comfortable with the under in this game than I am anything else, just because I don't expect Florida to be able to score a lot of points against Georgia in this one. And the question will just simply be, how well does the Florida defense do withstanding and holding up against Georgia in that running attack? So I'm more comfortable with an under, because I could see like a 24-14 or 24-10 kind of win for Georgia. And, you know, one of them covers, one of them doesn't, but both go under. So that's kind of where I'm leaning.
I've got 27-10. What's the number at? 46? 44?
43.5.
Yay! Dang.
It's a sweaty under.
Yeah, it's the under sweats for sure.
Yeah. But I feel comfortable with it, just because I don't trust Florida to be able to score enough points, period. And it's just going to be a question of how well can it contain Georgia.
We'll see. All right, Tom, lock me up.
Another under for me, and another one of the weekend's larger games.
Wait, are you locked up? Are you locking up the cocktail party under?
No.
Okay.
No, not a lock. All right. Just
a pick.
Just a sweat.
Yeah.
I'm going with the under 57 in Penn State at Ohio State.
Love it.
I like that.
Yeah. My gut instinct really wants to take Penn State in the points. It's just I don't know how this game's really going to go. I felt like when that line opened up, Ohio State was too large of a favorite, and that it's gotten bet down pretty much since then. But I feel the under is very solid. Both of these teams have good defenses. Penn State might have, you know, depending on what metric you want to use, Penn State might have the best defense so far to this point in the country, even better than Alabama's in a lot of stats. And Ohio State's obviously plenty of talent on their defense. And for me, there's been a lot of talk over the last month about, you know, JT Barrett's now a Heisman candidate because he's, you know,
he's got not.
However many touchdowns and one interception, and he's been lighting it up. But they've been doing it against, you know, UNLV, Maryland, Nebraska, and I think the other one was Army. I can't remember who that fourth game, but it's just they've been playing inferior opponents for the last month, and it's really built up their stock again. And just in his career, JT Barrett has struggled against Penn State. Last season, you know, I think he had a completion percentage of 63, but his yards per attempt was somewhere like 4.5 or 5. Just wasn't very efficient, turned the ball over, and he's had that kind of history against a lot of the Big Ten's better teams in the last few years. So I don't have a lot of faith that Ohio State has actually worked out its problems and will be able to solve Penn State as much as it's just been playing bad teams. And I think Ohio State's defense is good enough to at least limit Saquon Barkley and make Trace McSorley have to beat it. And as good as Trace McSorley can be at times, I'll take my chances against just him if I could take Barkley out of the picture. So I think this is going to be a close game, and I lean towards Penn State covering if you want to bet the actual spread. But I'm much more comfortable in the fact that this game is like a 27-24 kind of game, or a 27-21 type of game. So I really like the under in this one.
I agree with all of your inclinations. The only reason that I didn't give out an under is just because I thought last week would be an under too. I thought Penn State Michigan was going to be a low scoring affair, and they went off. And you know, and I think that they'll be able to handle Ohio State, but Ohio State's got a lot of big play potential. Like, both these teams can break big plays. And I think both these teams are well coached enough to scheme out some points if they get in the red zone. So I would be on your side, and I like your side. I also like Penn State and the points. That's what I picked Penn State to win in our expert picks. None of those I feel confident enough to hand out as a lock, but I'm on your team on those.
You also got Barton and I were talking to Dave Biddle from Bucknuts. You're gonna have weather, you know. You're gonna have
that's
some weather.
I forgot about that.
You got Greg Schiano and Kevin Wilson. We're both talking about how this is gonna be a good old Big Ten football game. And if they're talking, if the coaches are talking like that, sounds like these coaches are preparing for a game that they're trying to win like 21-17.
Except for Kevin Wilson, with all those years at Indiana, he might have a skewed view of what a good old-fashioned Big Ten football game is.
Fair.
He might be thinking 48-45.
Fair. Now, all that said, let's lock up the Buckeyes -6.5. Let's go.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Whoa, you're taking the Bucks, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I I think that this is the spot where I think that we will on Sunday morning, we will have or anyone who's smart will look at Ohio State and believe that they still have some of the same issues in terms of the way that JT Barrett is developed, the way that this offense plays. And I still think Ohio State can win this game by a touchdown. I think it's going to be an awesome game, but I'm looking at Barton. We've talked about it. I'm looking at Ohio State's offensive line, and I'm like, this has got to be the best game that you've had. You've got the extra week to prepare. I think J.K. Dobbins has a huge game. I think that you mentioned Tom Penn State, but like, I mean, Michigan, Northwestern, Iowa, Pittsburgh. Everyone knows the world beaters of Akron. Like, I think that there is, like, without even making JT Barrett beat you with his arm, I think that the Ohio State ground attack and the work that can be done by Ohio State's front four can be enough to anchor a win. Again, I think that there's nothing about this game, or there's nothing about, like, forget JT Barrett, the Heisman candidate. That's not the situation at all. But I think that Ohio State as a team, in spite of whatever limitations JT Barrett has, can win this game like 24-17. Lock it up.
That's why I'm kind of didn't really want to go with the spread, because I can see that happening. But like, what was your final score there?
24-17. That's under.
That's a safe under, my friend.
I said at the beginning of the podcast, my 8-pack of picks needs a Surgeon's General warning. We're going with the empty set, all streaks offense. So we're going Ohio State -6.5.
We're running five verts.
Dino Baber style, no huddle in sight.
Yeah. It is an offense that will not huddle. All right. So let's go, Barton, back to you.
I'm going to stay in the Big Ten. And I'm going to go Indiana -4.5 over Maryland. I think that Indiana is a good football team. We've been waiting for them to break out. They had an awesome first half against Ohio State in the opener. They beat what's turned out to be handily a pretty good Virginia team. The game is closer than the score against Penn State, where Penn State had two defensive touchdowns and a kick return touchdown. They lost in overtime to Michigan. They were up most of the game against Michigan State and let it get away late. This is quietly, if you look at the numbers, this is one of the best defenses in the country. And they're playing a Maryland team who hasn't been able to do anything with their third-string quarterback. I think there's a chance this is a good under candidate as well. I don't know that either team's going to score a lot of points, but I think this is the time that Indiana takes an opportunity against a winnable opponent, puts together a complete performance, and shows up and wins. I think Indiana wins this game by 7 to 10 points and covers me. And, this is just, I like Tom Allen. I think he's a really good coach.
He needs a win. He needs a win like this. A solid.
Yeah, and it's been a tough little, they play Michigan State. I mean, they're going to be a little bit beat up. So I grant that. But, hey, Maryland's coming off of a Wisconsin game who's pretty physical in their own rights. Northwestern, Ohio State. So that's not necessarily a cakewalk either. So I think Indiana comes in this ready, motivated to get their win. They need it. I think Tom Allen gets it done.
You're not a big believer in Max Bortenschlager?
It's been really hard to take Maryland seriously ever since Bortenschlager was named the new starting quarterback.
Yeah, and then they won their first game, though.
I know.
That's the best part. Bortenschlager won the first start against Minnesota. I think he threw like 3 passes. I can't remember. I think when you get to the East, when you get past those top teams, I think there's a pretty, especially at this point with all the Maryland injuries, I do think Indiana's a little bit like a tier above the Maryland's and the Rutgers of that division. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty safe pick.
Tom, what you got?
We're going to Conference USA.
Oh, wow.
For this one.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started with the big dogs. Now I'm moving to the little ones. I'm taking Southern Miss, or I'm sorry, not Southern Miss, Louisiana Tech, minus 13 on the road against Rice.
Why?
Now,
why?
Well,
classic Fornelli pick.
This is this is one of those instances where I'm not so much betting on Louisiana Tech as much as I'm betting against Rice, a very bad football team. And I just think that Louisiana Tech is a team that, it played well against Western Kentucky, beat Western Kentucky on the road, and they're one of the better teams in that conference. It beat South Alabama by 18. It played really well against South Carolina on the road, losing by one. It lost by one on the road against UAB, and then last week it lost to a good Southern Miss team. So it's not a great Louisiana Tech team. It's just Rice, again, very, very not good. It lost 62-7 to Stanford. It lost 38-3 against Houston. It lost 42-10 against Pitt. It lost 49-12 against Army. This is a team that is very good at losing by a lot of touchdowns. And I just expect that to happen again. I think Louisiana Tech is a better team. Louisiana Tech is trying to get to a bowl game itself, and it needs this win. And Rice, I feel like, is a team that's kind of just, it's cooked, put it that way. So I think that I like the Bulldogs in this one, and I feel like 13 is just a little too small. And I think that just because it's on the road, Vegas didn't want to give them too many points there. But I just don't see Rice hanging around in this one.
Tom,
feels like Rice is sort of they need a new they need a new regime there.
Yeah.
It just feels like they're just going through the motions at this point. They haven't been competitive in years. They've got – who's the coach there? He's been there forever.
Bailiff? The Bailiff?
Yes.
Yeah, David Bailiff.
Yeah.
Bailiff?
Their last decent season was 2014, and they've been really bad ever since. It feels like this one is – a foregone conclusion that Louisiana Tech wins, just a matter of how much. I can live with that pick.
Tom, Jeff Drizzle is no longer at Louisiana Tech, but do you know where Jeff Drizzle's little brother is?
Not Florida.
Florida Atlantic.
Atlantic.
Yeah.
He is leading the FAU offensive renaissance. Little Jeff. Wait, what's the littlest Drizzle's first name? It's another J. Jason? John. What is it?
Jason.
Yeah. Driscoll.
Jason Driscoll's busy getting Lane Kiffin a new job.
Yeah, exactly.
Lane Kiffin's just out here like campaigning publicly for his next gig on Twitter. Just like
he's also
no hiding it.
He's also maybe committing a secondary violation and trying to recruit Lamar Jackson away from Louisville.
Right. Just
no shame.
Give an F.
Yeah. All right, Tom. I hadn't heard you mention this pick, but I know from our discussions that you and I are on opposite sides on this one. So I will ask you again for the purposes of the podcast, who decided that Iowa State was a world beater? I'm going TCU minus 6.5. I don't think that the value of, I don't think there's value in the string of runs since beating Oklahoma. And I think that while Iowa State has been very good with Kemp coming in and moving the ball through the air, I think that this is a spot where Iowa State's third down defense ends up letting them down, and they're never able to get into a rhythm, and TCU just like slowly works its way through another one of these like 31-7 type wins. I feel very comfortable about TCU minus 6.5.
You can feel comfortable if you want. It's not a lock for me, but it is in my pick six column, my underdog of the week. I took Iowa State plus 6.5. It's an Iowa State team that is 6-1 against the spread this season, including 3-1 at home. It's 8-2 against the spread in its last 10 home games. And it's, covered 4 straight this month. It's 7-1 against the spread against teams with winning records in its last 8 games. And meanwhile, I believe in Iowa State, quite simply. I think that offensively, this is a team that's going to be able to hang with TCU. I think they're going to be able to put up points, and I think especially at home at Jack Trice, we've seen in the past a lot of Big 12 teams, particularly teams on top of the Big 12, go to Jack Trice and Ames and have a bad day. And as we've discussed previously, I think that this is a TCU team that has not had the bad day yet that every good team has. Not necessarily a lost bad day, but just where things don't go as planned and they're stuck in games that are a lot closer. We saw it with Alabama against Texas A&M. We saw it with Penn State on the road against Iowa about a month ago. And I think this is the week where TCU is going to go on the road in a large, very loud, packed stadium against a team with really high hopes and fans that are extremely optimistic because their team is good for the first time in quite a while. And I just think that this is the week where TCU sputters a little bit. I think the Horned Frogs are going to win, but I think it's going to be a close game in the fourth quarter, and I like Iowa State getting the 6.5. That said, I'd be much more comfortable with it. It would be a lock if it was at 7 or 7.5. It's 6.5. There's still that, you know, that late touchdown front door cover possibility for TCU there. So it's not a lock. I understand your side. I just feel much more comfortable with the Cyclone side.
Mm. Barton, you got anything on this one?
I mean, I would... I picked in the experts picks. I picked TCU. I am with you, Chip, on the whole, like, when did Iowa State become this like juggernaut? You know, they beat Texas Tech. I mean, I know they beat Oklahoma earlier in the year, and that's big, but I'm not a believer in them yet. I get everything that Tom's saying makes sense to me as well, but that's I would not have the stones to pull the trigger on that. Like, I still think TCU is the team. I mean, I think TCU has been probably the most consistent team in college football this year, with the possible exception of Alabama. And so I don't have any reason to think they're going to give me a letdown here. One's probably coming this year. This could be a spot for it, but I would not be comfortable with the line under a touchdown to pick against them.
Who do you think is the more what team has inspired the most confidence based on consistency is an interesting thing to present, particularly at this point in the season. Let's say Penn State, Georgia, TCU. Of those three, who do you think inspires the most confidence with their consistency? Barton, you first.
TCU.
I might go Georgia. I might go Georgia.
If you look at Look, I mean, TCU, they went on the road to beat that Oklahoma State team. They handle Kansas State in Manhattan, which is always tough. They, you know, West Virginia made it a game, but it was always West Virginia sort of trying to keep it within a score. I just think that they've done what they're supposed to be. Georgia's up there, too. Like, I mean, Georgia's, what, with the exception of just kind of a Missouri game that wasn't as dominant as we wanted. Like, I don't know that Georgia's done anything that's been concerning. So they're right up there too. I think Penn State, honestly, is of the three you mentioned, like the one that's got some consistency issues. Like, I go back to like Pitt outgained them. Indiana was statistically a really close game. Iowa, like that was a game that they needed a last second score to win. And I don't, those aren't indictments of Penn State because they won those games, and particularly the Iowa game. In fact, it showed a lot about the ability to make big plays when it matters. But in terms of consistency, like I don't know that would put them up there with TCU right now.
What do you think, Tom?
Georgia,
yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, they had the close game with Notre Dame, obviously, which they ended up pulling out and winning. But we've seen now that Notre Dame's pretty good. But then you look at the, you know, 21-point win over App State, crushed Samford, beat Mississippi State by 28, shut out Tennessee 41-0, beat Vanderbilt by 31. And even after struggling for a little bit with Mizzou, they still won that game by 25 points. So I just think that Georgia has been the consistently the most dominating team of those three.
Mm, I agree. All right, Tom, lock me up.
For my next lock, we're sticking in the SEC, SEC East in particular.
Oh, are we going under 46.5?
No, it's not an under.
Oh.
Tennessee +5 at Kentucky.
Wow.
Get the hell out of here with making Kentucky a 5-point favorite over anybody in the SEC.
Wow.
If you want to make Kentucky a 3-point favorite in a conference game at home, fine. A 5-point favorite over any other SEC team, name a team that Kentucky should be a 5-point favorite against. Go in the SEC. Try.
And Vanderbilt.
You even sure about that?
No, I'm not sure. Nothing about the SEC East makes me sure.
This is now some of this is skewed obviously by last week, but this is a Kentucky team that's 5-2 on the year that has allowed more points than it has scored. This is a Kentucky team that in the SEC has given up a lot more points than it has scored. Now, again, skewed by getting crushed by Mississippi State last week, but the fact it got crushed by Mississippi State last week, kind of the point. Tennessee has problems. Obviously, we could talk about Tennessee. We could do like a week on Tennessee's problems this year on this show. But I just, there is no way in the world. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if John Kelly's, you know, not playing.
He's
Tennessee
not.
Is going to win this game. I would take Tennessee on the money line. Tennessee plus 5, I will lock it up. There's just no reason in the world the Kentucky Wildcats should be a 5-point favorite over anybody in the SEC. That's it. That's all this comes down to.
Kentucky's, according to all the like the advanced stats, Kentucky is one of the more overvalued teams.
Very much. I mean, you know, I do my own rankings every week that, you know, are based on, you know, math and the stats and all that kind of stuff. And Kentucky, when it was 5-1, since wins are weighted so heavily in my formula, Kentucky was ranked, you know, in the top 25 last week. But I, when I would look at the stats and I'd put it all in, I was like, this is a team that is standing on some very flimsy stilts. And after losing one game in my rankings, in my formula, they dropped all the way from 25th to 50th just based off one loss. So this is a team that's it's a nice house on the outside. But once you get inside, there are some foundation problems.
I also picked Tennessee to cover and win in the experts picks. It's not a lock. My hesitation on calling it a lock is A, John Kelly does look like he's out, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's suspended.
And that's their best player. But also, the concern here for me on the Tennessee side is Kentucky, say what you will about them, they know what they are. They know that they're going to try to shorten the game, run the football, play good defense, and get out of there. Tennessee, who the hell knows what they are? They don't know what they are. We don't know what they are. And I think there is – I'm not sure that I would have said this 2 years ago, but now where we are today, there seems to be a clear coaching advantage – and Mark Stoops over Butch Jones. I mean, are we at that point? Am I wrong on that?
No.
Maybe.
I mean, Butch is reeling right now. Like it's I feel like in a vacuum, Butch Jones is probably an equal or even better coach than Mark Stoops, but like it's almost like he's, you know, he needs a 20-second timeout, a TV timeout to just like stop the bleeding, like stop the run and get settled back in. And he seems to be floundering right now. And so, I mean, granted, this is an opportunity to stop that run and win a game in Kroger, but I don't know. I'm scared. It's hard to trust Tennessee. I guess that's my basic point. But I also am on Tennessee both to win and cover in the experts because of those reasons you said.
I look at Butch right now as the wounded animal that's cornered.
Yeah.
That has to, this is it, man. You either come out and you win this game or, you know,
I think they understand done. That they got to have a five. They got this a 5-game season and they got to go undefeated.
Yeah.
And this is game one.
It's so now or never.
I don't hate, but sometimes I think that the like penalties as a statistic get thrown around or misused oftentimes in college football analysis. But damn if in that Alabama game, every single time there was something small that happened good for Tennessee, it didn't come back because of a flag.
Right.
Like
those, Kongbo hands to the face penalties that just like they got their stops and then Kongbo puts a hand to the face that was like inconsequential.
You're like, what are you doing? I'll tell you one thing. I watched more of that Alabama game than I maybe would have if I was at home enjoying myself and in control of the clicker. But I will say Tennessee's defense has still shown some fight, and for that I'm locking up the under 46.5. I don't have a good feel on who ends up winning this game, but I feel pretty good that neither team or only one team is going to hit 24 on the scoreboard. I see a score that's going to be very similar to that South Carolina-Tennessee game where we were looking at like 15-9, 17-13, yeah, something like that. So I'm no side for me on the locks, but I'll lock up under 46.5 late night Kroger Field action.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I give it to
me. I can dig it.
Barton.
I've got three in, and as I try to milk this lead for the first time in a long time, I almost cut it off at three.
At Missouri, Georgia, Indiana, all favorites. What a lame card.
I know.
It's one of those weeks, though. Trust me, I'm right there with you.
But I'm not going to end it there. I'm going to give you one more. And to your point, Chip, I can't go just like favorites across the board. So I'm playing Houston.
Oh.
Plus, I've seen it at 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Houston plus 11 at South Florida. This is my second consecutive South Florida fade. I didn't win on the locks, but I guess I won on the expert picks. But Tulane last week covered against South Florida. Look, South Florida, I've said it from the beginning of the season, since the first game I saw where they played San Jose State and were, you know, losing at halftime. Every time I see South Florida play, I'm unimpressed. And yet here they are in the top 25, like we said they would. After that Stony Brook 2-score win, we said we'd be looking up and they'd be undefeated late in the season, and we'd be looking back and be like, realize this is the same team that almost lost to Stony Brook? Well, here we are. They're still undefeated. They're still ranked really high, and they've got a Houston team coming in that's had a disappointing season that really had no business losing last week to Houston. That was a tough one because I picked Houston to win and cover in my experts there as well. And Memphis came back and won. Houston needs a big win. UCF is due for a loss. I think 11 points is a lot of points for a UCF team or USF team. Sorry, that's again. They have, until last week, they had played nobody, no one, like the worst schedule in college football. And so now they have back-to-back tough games. I think Houston comes in there with some resolve. They got to get a win. They'll be super motivated. I think USF will too, but I think 11 points is too many. And Houston hangs in there, if not, gets the straight-up win.
Wow. The Fraud Bowl. South Florida and Houston, both fraudulent teams.
I'm with them.
You got Houston plus 11?
Yeah, Barton and I are the only two in the CBSSports.com expert picks that have Houston in this game.
Are you locking it up, Tom?
No.
Okay.
But like you just said, this is fraud versus fraud.
Yeah.
But I think Houston is less fraudulent in this matchup.
But even Houston, like, they're at the point now where they're, we may even be getting a little value on them because they've, you know, early in the season, they were frauds. But at this point, like, their record's kind of ugly. They've got some bad games to fall back on. Now I think people are like, well, this team been very good. Well, they're still okay, and they still have Ed Oliver in the middle, and they still can play some defense. And if they can get something going on offense, I think that they could sneak up and win this one.
You mentioned cashing Tulane last week. I'm going to stay on the green wave.
Picked this one too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go Tulane plus 11 on some Friday night action at Memphis. This is riding the train, and hopefully I'm not staying on a little bit too long. Especially since Tulane came and kicked in the back door to get that cover after being by 2 scores most of the week. But I'm liking Tulane right now, and I think that if you give me double-digit dogs against pretty much anybody in the AAC not named UCF, I'm going to take it. So Memphis? Hell yeah. Let's go, Tulane. Let's go.
No argument.
Yeah, I almost picked that one. Memphis is another team I don't really trust, but they're so explosive on offense. They can get on these runs that I'm also too scared to bet against them a whole lot. But I was very close to putting this in my locks. I kind of dug into the numbers a little bit, hoping to see some sort of drastic undervalue, and I didn't get confident enough in it, but I like your pick.
Yeah, no, it's 100% just thinking that that they're going to be able to continue this little run here. And you know what? This might be a game where I lose with Memphis leading by 7 and then screen pass goes for 70 yards. Very possible. I will be sweating this until the end, I'm sure. Don't feel like Tulane's going to win this game. But Memphis, man, yeah, you can't trust Memphis either. These AAC games in November are just going to continue to be just ridiculous. Like, I feel like
Tulane's also another one of those teams that's going to, they're going to slip up, and like, they've got to win against someone on this, like with Willie Fritz this year. Like, they're going to, they've not beaten a good team yet, unless you count Army maybe as their best win. And with Memphis, Houston, I guess, remaining, like, do you feel like they're going to get one of those?
I agree. Tom, do you have another lock?
Yes, I have one final lock.
All right.
Texas at Baylor, under 57.
Nice.
Just, I feel like this is the situation. I mean, we saw last week with Texas and Oklahoma State, the Texas defense can play, and it has played very well over the last month or so. And this is a Baylor team where I feel like this is the kind of matchup Matt Rhule is looking for, where he does, where he's realizing, oh, I don't have to score 45 points if I don't want to. You know, I could do some ball control, try to move down, put together. You know, I just feel like this is going to be a game that is going to be the anti Big 12 shootout. It's going to be a slower paced, more methodical game from both teams, and I feel like maybe Baylor gets this win, although I'm not going to pick that. I think Baylor's going to get a win at some point. But I just feel like this is more of a 24 to 21-ish type of game. And I just, you know, you look, just as far as Texas is concerned, unders have been very good for the Longhorns this year. They're unders 5-0 in its last 5 road games. It's 6-1 in its last 7 games in October, which is a funny trend, but it's true. And then just between these two teams, the last 4 years, the under has come through in all 4 meetings. This is a game that typically goes under. That being said, the total is usually higher than this because we were talking about, you know, the older Baylor offenses. But I still just think that this is more of going to be a defensive game than it is going to be an offensive game. Plus, do we know if Sam Ellinger's playing yet?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so there's still some questions about who's going to be playing quarterback at Texas. So I think 57 is just a little too high for the total here. I'd be surprised if this game gets to 50.
I kind of wonder if, first of all, this is like, if I think the game opened at 10.5 and it's down to like 7.5 now. At 10.5, I would have been really tempted to take Baylor.
Yeah.
Down where it's at now, I'm a little bit more gun shy. I wonder if this is a game where Texas would be better off with Buechele in there at quarterback anyways, because Baylor's had issues defending, you know, the big play in the pass game. That's sort of their big play pass game quarterback. Buechele can, I mean, he can throw the deep ball, and Ellinger's more of the rough and tumble, like, run game quarterback that Tom Herman likes. But this game is, I mean, I agree with you, like, it's almost like something has to give here, because I think Baylor gets a win somewhere too, beyond like a Kansas win. And yet it's hard for me to see a Texas team that is really good, that's staring down the barrel of 6-6 and 7-5, you know, slip up in this one. This one's just too weird for me to play. I think that under 57 sounds like a reasonable spot to take it.
The Texas 6-1 against the spread.
Tom Herman is just very good against the spread. It's a trend at this point. You know what I mean? It's not just a fluke. He's been doing it for his entire head coaching career.
All right. I got one more on the card. Rutgers, Michigan, under 43.5. Who wants to sweat?
That is a sweat.
Every Rutgers touchdown is going to be or every Rutgers point is going to be bad news. So you got to hope for a shutout here.
I feel like if Rutgers is going to score a touchdown in this game, it's going to be on like a long broken run.
Nah, you know what I mean? Yeah, no. If Rutgers hits 14 points, it's because they get 7 safeties.
Like, or a John O'Korn turnover.
Yeah, yeah, or John O'Korn actually fumbles it backwards 20 yards, and Rutgers picks it up and runs in for a touchdown. Yeah, I'm looking at the, like, was it Michigan favored by like 24, 25 and an over under of 43.5?
Yeah, that tells you everything you need to know about what Vegas thinks of Rutgers' chance to score.
Yeah. No, I'm betting on Michigan's defense and Michigan's offense, and I'm going 43.5. As in, I don't think Michigan's offense is gonna score more than 24 points, and I don't think Rutgers is going to get more than 12.
I want to talk to somebody who's like comfortable taking Michigan minus 24.
I thought about it. I actually thought about it.
No,
I did. This is so the last 2 years, Chip, Michigan has covered the total on its own.
Yes.
Including last year's 78-0 win, which covered the 52.5 over. And this Rutgers team is not going to be able to move the ball. Michigan, like, I don't know. Like, I didn't do it for the same reason. Like, I shouldn't have ever taken Florida State last week. Like, it's time to stop trusting these brand teams that aren't delivering. But I just find it really hard to believe this Michigan team with this coaching staff and that talent doesn't have a game where they get it together and score in the red zone and find continuity on offense. And this seems like a great opportunity to do it. This seems like a great get right week with Rutgers, and Rutgers has improved this year. They're not going to win 78-0, but I mean, did you see the stats in last week's 14-12 win over Purdue? Like,
I watched the game, my friend.
130 rushing yards and 87 passing yards was the winning total. And I mean, Purdue actually had 280 rushing yards and like 195 passing yards. But, you know, I don't know. You tell me, Tom, how they figured out to win that game. This team is bad. Michigan is not bad. They're just not great. And I don't know. I was tempted to take the 24. I'm not going to do it just because I've gotten burned enough by the Auburns and the Florida States of the world this year. But go ahead and roll the dice on that under. And I don't think Rutgers is going
to
score.
Come on, 35-0. Give me 35-0. For this Michigan team, 35-0 would be 78-0 for another team.
Yeah.
You ever been to an NHL game and between periods they have like the 4-year-olds playing hockey?
That's what this is. Oh, yeah. That's what that
and
game
nobody
was
scores.
Like.
That's what last week's Purdue Rutgers game was. It was like watching a 4-year-old play an exhibition hockey game between periods.
All right. So I'm all right to review. Unless anyone's got anything left.
Not a lock or anything. I kind of like West Virginia plus 7.5 at home against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I picked West Virginia to win that game. I think that might have been stupid. But I did, not in a lock, but in the experts picks. So I'm with you on that, though I'm scared of it.
I think that that game's going to come down to where you get the number. Feels like a touch 4 or 5. I don't know. Do you really think West Virginia's going to win that game?
No, I don't. I don't know. I picked it, and here I am. Like, I don't really. I was rushed.
I think a principle for me is not picking against Will Grier, because I do believe Will Grier is one of the, like, he is one of the most productive and successful quarterbacks in the country right now. And the last thing that I want to do is be trying to protect a spread with Will Grier marching down the field.
What's the total on that game? 73.5, 74?
Yeah.
Dude, that's both those teams are going to have a hard time stopping the other one, I would think.
Are you thinking about going over 73? My.
Just freaking, that's a...
From the get-go, you're like, running back.
That's a fun cover if that hits.
Yeah. All right, to review, Barton is on Missouri minus 13, Georgia minus 13.5, Indiana minus 4.5, and Houston plus 11. Tom is on Notre Dame minus 7, Ohio State, Penn State under 57, Louisiana Tech minus 13, Tennessee plus 5.5, Texas Baylor under 57. Chip is on NC State plus 7, Wake Forest plus 3, Tulane plus 11, Missouri UConn under 78.5, Tennessee Kentucky under 46.5, Ohio State minus 6.5, Rutgers Michigan under 43.5, and TCU minus 6.5.
It's a lot of picks.
I think this is going to be a good week for the syndicate. I got a good feeling.
It's a Saturday here at the Palatial Patterson Studios. I want to have a lot of action. I've got full control of all the televisions and screens. I want to sweat. I want to sweat it.
Don't abandon the run game, Chip. Just taking shots, trying to catch up. Still got a lot of time left, man.
If this goes south for me after and I end up back on the other side of zero, I'm gonna be right back to running the ball. Any reverse line movements or weird lines that you guys want?
I looked. I didn't see a ton of reverse line movement that caught my eye this week.
Let's see. We mentioned the Oklahoma State West Virginia game. That one was one that I was losing sleep over. Oh, Miami at North Carolina. Miami wins by 30.
I think this is Miami's first chance to blow somebody out. Yeah.
Yeah. North Carolina has North Carolina's got the Cosmic Cantina delivery staff playing in the defensive backfield. They're toast.
I almost took. I also thought about taking San Jose State plus 12.5. BYU shouldn't be laying double digits to anybody in college football.
Yeah, but siding with San Jose State violates a principle.
Siding with BYU violates a principle this year too.
Agreed.
They lost to East. They lost to East Carolina, right? Is that who they lost to?
That's an on the field lock.
It should be literally illegal to bet on that game. Like if you go to the window and place a bet, a cop just shows up behind you and starts walking you off to another room. It's like, come with me, sir.
What about these Arizona State games? Washington State at Arizona, man. USC at Arizona State. I'm staying away from them for all locks and purposes, but I'll be locked in terms of watching them and looking for some good entertainment.
I agree. I had actually penciled in Arizona plus 3 at one point for this show, but backed off it because I'm scared of that Washington State defense. That's pretty good. So, but man, I'm on the Khalil Tate train big time. So I'd love to see them. I'd like to see them win it. I'd love to see Arizona just keep on rolling.
What about the Sun Devils? Did they catch USC, a hobbled USC team? And
who did you guys pick in this in your experts? I picked Arizona State to win.
I picked USC. I can't.
I picked Arizona State to cover.
Oh, you split the baby on 3.5?
No, I might have picked Arizona State to win. I can't remember. I'm just saying I know I picked Arizona State to cover. I don't know if I picked them to win outright, though.
I don't know if I'm ready to live in a world where we go from like talking USC college football playoff national title contender to talking, Arizona State, couple wins away from locking up the Pac-12 South.
Arizona State battle for the South.
It's gonna be amazing on Saturday night if both Arizona and Arizona State win. That's exactly the situation we're in.
I know, and I'm not ready for it.
And I'm kind of rooting for it.
I'm rooting for it, man. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Because remember before the year when we were talking, when we did dark horses, Arizona was one of my Pac-12 dark horses, and I didn't even really believe it.
Oh, yeah, that was the one where you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of have to pick a couple.
I had to pick three, and Arizona was the third Pac-12 team. So now if Arizona actually does win the Pac-12 South, I can be like, see, guys, I knew it all along.
Like in the post-realignment world, since the Pac-10 split, and now into two divisions and became the Pac-12, like the Arizona and Arizona State winning the division when USC was down, like I sort of factored that back into my head the way that Wake Forest and Boston College were running the ACC Atlantic for a little bit while Clemson and Florida State were down.
Mm-hmm.
But now I guess we just got to talk about Arizona and Arizona State as the perennial powers in the Pac-12 South, right?
Them, Colorado, and Utah.
Yeah. Jeez. Right. Come on.
When I was in our preseason, like, bold predictions, I predicted that half of the Pac-12 South would get fired or would no longer be the coach in the season, thinking Rich Rod, Todd Graham, Jim Mora. But what if, in fact, it was Clay Helton, Jim Mora, and Mike McIntyre? It wouldn't be Mike McIntyre. He's safe.
He was just coach of the year.
I think my bold prediction was that everybody in the South except for USC would have four conference losses at least.
Mm.
And that's still in play.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Should be wild. All right. So we have got all of our cards in. We are ready to go start locking it up. You can follow Barton at Barton Simmons. You can follow Tom at Tom Fornelli. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Make sure that you subscribe to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast because subscribers get the episodes first. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you.